You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Okay, lads, I heard this on Reddit.
You heard it on Reddit?
So...
Okay. The Reddit podcast, that would be.
I read it on Reddit, right. And everyone knows that there's no lies on Reddit.
No.
So this must be true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So firstly, of course, this is a podcast called The Dice Men Cometh about board games.
Correct.
Right. Now, we know the board game Lisboa.
We do.
We do. Very well.
Very famous board game that we played the prototype for at PAX last year. Had a hugely successful Kickstarter from Eagle Griffin Games. And this is no joke.
You sure?
There's been a fire at the warehouse.
No!
And in fact, the whole shipment of Lisboa going to Europe has been destroyed in a fire.
Really?
The Eagle Griffin Games did see the humor and say, well, at least there's no earthquakes and no tsunamis.
Hey!
Because for those who don't know, Lisboa is about the story of the rebuilding of Lisbon after there was a fire, an earthquake, and a tsunami. So...
Was the fire first in real life? I think it was.
I'm not sure, but I read this and I thought, someone's pulling their legs.
Yeah, it's not April the 1st, is it?
It's apparently true.
Oh, Ian O'Toole, Vital Lacerda.
What a beautiful board to catch on fire. That's horrible.
But anyway... Games must go on, and I'm going to go on episode 175 on the 27th of July, here from the Edge Radio Studios, 99.3 FM. I am apparently the curmudgeonly old bearded guy.
No, that was
who's known as Mark, and I was going to ask you anything about Great Western Trail that you want to talk about?
I still can't remember what it was.
Nicely done.
Leon, do you want to introduce yourself, Leon?
I am Leon.
Oh, hello.
And I find it a damn shame that fire wasn't Pandemic Legacy and Terraforming Mars. Oh, the world would have been a better place.
Oh, dear. Well, anyway, we have got a jam-packed show full of jam, and it's relatively packed.
Can you be a young curmudgeon?
You are.
I think you are.
I think the answer is yes.
That's a thing.
We are going to start with what we have been playing this week, which is a lie because we haven't played it this week.
It's like when comedians say, happened to me the other day.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. We know it didn't.
No, it didn't. But the point is we've played it. We're talking Captain Sonar. Beep, 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 beep. That we played in Brewercorn, which I still don't know if we're allowed to talk about Brewercorn.
I think I've used up my quota of...
Yes.
But you haven't, Garth.
No, so we did play this in a games convention that is conveniently on the border between New South Wales and Victoria. We will also talk about iOS, because we haven't talked about that in a while.
No.
And then we'll just do some other stuff. Is that how it works?
Something to that effect, yeah.
Some awards, Mark, that you'd like to talk about?
I think we will, and we'll have all of that coming up soon.
What's going on? Hey, that's a nice bag. I hope there's no bombs in it.
Well, I hope there's no bombs in it either. That was L Fresh the Lion with Hold Up. You are with the Dice Men Cometh.
Featuring Remy.
Oh, that's not what you told me when I wrote the song description.
I didn't think it was worth writing in the
Remy's
song
description. Remy's not in the studio, so let's forget about it.
Exactly. So you are still with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. This is the show all about card games and board games and dice games and all of that. And who are we proudly supported by tonight? It must be Area 52.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Who we love. 104 Elizabeth Street. Just go there, spend all your money.
Tasmania's leading pop culture store for your comics, your manga, your Funko Pop. I love playing Pop. Pop vinyls.
Your giant games of Werewolf happening this Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. And all other things. Yeah. Getting there. The Schwartz. Friend of mine went in, purchased the...
you don't have friends.
Party pack of... what's that game where you write on the things, then you look at the things?
Telestrations.
Telestrations, party pack. And then we took it to a party.
Yeah.
We packed it at the party. Much hilarity ensued.
Oh,
so
well,
thanks to Schwartz for that.
Well, thanks for interrupting me, Mark. That was wonderful and very informative. Now, Leon, tonight is your turn to talk about what we have been playing this week in inverted commas that was really 6 months ago.
The year is 2048.
And that's 2017, isn't it?
Just because Mark looks that old.
Really, four words in.
It's like 100. Give me a second. A new economic war has erupted. Rare earth has become a key element for building new machines, leading private companies to arm next-generation submarine prototypes into protecting their underwater mines.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I didn't know that at all about what
So, Matagot Games presents Captain Sonar, a game between 2 to 8 players.
No, it's not.
Sorry, 4 to 8 players.
No, it's still not.
What?
Don't play it with less than 8.
8. It's 8.
it's 8 players. It's an 8-player game.
No, we're going to get to that. Can I get to where I was saying, for God's sake?
Well,
so, anyways, the point of Captain Sonar, you and your teammates control a state-of-the-art submarine, and you're trying to locate your enemy. So the way it works is you'll have 8 people, preferably, yes, on a big old table, and there'll be a cool divider in between you so you can't see what the other people are doing. And there'll be 4 positions on each side. You'll have your captain.
Yep.
You'll have your captain's mate.
Hello,
you'll
mate.
G'day.
You'll have your engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have your radar majig person.
sonar in a submarine.
Radar operator.
Sonar.
No. Radar. It's radar.
Ping. Anyway, let's not worry about
ping,
that.
Ping, beep. Ping.
It's all about Leon.
Anyway, so
one
this
ping
game,
only Vasily.
So this game can be played turn by turn.
One side goes.
Just shut up. It can be done. That's how you can play it. 4 players. One side can go and then the other side can go. But most people will play it the chaotic insanity of playing everything simultaneously at the same time.
Actually, it's the radio operator.
I mean, should I just be quiet and let you guys do the thing?
No, we just need to be correct because, you know...
No, we don't.
I was listening to last week's show and there was a lot of errors.
Oh, yes.
So the editing was really good.
The editing was very good, but I want to make sure we just get off to a good start. No errors. Trent is not here, so that should get rid of most of the errors.
Anywho, so let's just explain the 4 roles. So the captain is the captain.
He's the boss man.
So there's that one. So no, the whole point of the captain is that they are the ones to plot the course. They will say where the ship is going. They will say you're north, south, east, west and stuff. Which before you start, a little handy tip, everyone before you start this game, get into your head which one east and west is.
Yes.
I'm not even joking.
No, you're not.
Everybody that first played this when we played it, mind you, it was bought on a weekend.
Yep.
It was on a Saturday night or a Sunday night even. We'd all been there for days.
It was late.
There was a beer or 27 had. And there were many times when, as the radio sonar, what the hell ever, people would go east and you'd go, north, never eat soggy. Right, okay, I got it. I know what it is now.
Now, it must be said that, yes, that is incredibly important because when I was the captain, I think I went southwest, southeast, and just cocked it all up and possibly caused the competing radio operator to go off our track, which was great.
Well, I do believe the first game that we played, someone did say, what was it? It was like...
North-south.
North-east, like south-west-north, and it was like, you just ran into you.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you, that's right.
Anyway, let's get going. Because the thing is, each of the captains are working off the same map. So each of them have a map, which is one of the, half a dozen or more different maps that come in this game.
Yes.
And the map is basically your 2D. You're looking down at an aerial view that might be several islands, or it might be one island that has a lot of ocean around it, or it might be
ice with just a couple of little holes,
which will become apparent and important later on.
Yes.
So,
and it's broken up into different quadrants and stuff, which come in handy later.
Very grid-based.
So that is the captain. Then you have the radar. Are we going with radar?
Radio.
Their job is to listen to the captain on the other team, and all they have to do is listen to their coordinates and map it out on this clear piece of plastic and try and put it on the map that they have in front of them to try and work out where they are.
Yeah, because they have the same map that the captains do.
Yeah.
They just don't know where the hell the ships... the submarines have started. So it's a really interesting puzzle for them to try and figure out, well, if you've gone north-north-east... southwest, da-da-da-da-da, you clearly can't be in this location because you've run into an island.
And they're sitting next to the captain and at the end of the table, so all they really have to do is communicate with the captain and nobody else and listen to the other captain, which is very, very important because if you miss one thing, you screw the whole
staffed.
Thing up, which is why is the one position on that game I hated doing because 2 things happened to me. One of them was I missed one coordinate somewhere. It was nobody's fault except my own. I just literally was not paying attention, which throws the whole thing out.
Yep.
And then secondly, because we all had a quick goes at being all the different positions, the captain on the other side, I'm positive, at some point said north, south, or east, west. And before I could say, hang on, What, that's wrong. Hang on a minute, or Ein Minutenbitter in German. There you go.
I know. Oh, you were listening to the interview last week.
I know stuff.
Or watching Das Boot.
So I guess the key is to remember is that think of this like a game of Snake. Yeah. Anyone who's got the old Nokias would know that. Your submarines are not allowed to run into their previous tracks.
Yeah.
There obviously is an exception to that when you surface.
Yeah.
But for the whole game, until you surface, i.e. stuff happens, you're not allowed to cross over a path that you've already been through. And that's where it's really important. If that happens, you do a lot of damage to your own submarine.
Yes.
Necessarily a bad thing.
And just to the right of your captain, you have the first mate. And what the first mate has in front of them is a sheet that has basically all the different special abilities that you can activate. There is six different abilities, which are, there's like landmines and there's torpedoes, which are the fun ones, of course.
Yeah.
But then you've got your sonar, where you can try and find out the coordinates of other people.
Ping.
There's two different kinds of the sonar. I had it written down here, but it has misplaced itself.
That's all right.
And then there was two other ones as well. So their job is to... it's extremely half-assed. I've been very busy. So their job is to arm all these different weapons, and they do that by every time the captain moves, they get to arm like one little dot on these things, and most of them take three or four dots to arm, which you think would be simple. You just kind of go, we want torpedoes, you just do that three times in a row. However, there is an issue, and that is the engineer.
Oh, we hate the engineer.
Which is the man on the end who is...
Could be a lady.
That's true, very true.
Could be transgender. We're not Donald Trump. We don't discriminate.
Oh,
could be anybody.
I nearly threw up when I read that. Anywho, so the engineer has the most stressful job, I'd argue, of all of them, because they have this little grid in front of them that shows north, south, east, and west, which is the ways you can go, and there's little symbols on them. So every time that your ship goes one of those directions, you have to cross off a little symbol on there. And when you do that, it means that certain things like the torpedoes are disabled.
They just don't work.
You just can't use them anymore. And the only way to enable them is to either surface, which we'll talk about in a second, or by getting a certain chain of different abilities from different coordinates. You have to get them all crossed at the same time, and then you can rub them all off.
Oh, man.
It makes no sense, probably listening to the words I'm saying, but when you see it in front of you, it makes sense. But it's stressful.
Because
you're constantly yelling at the captain, no more north, or one more north, or no east, or please go east, we need east to work.
For me, that was a reason I loved this position.
Yeah.
Firstly, because it was so clever, the way, you know, you've got those little paths that you trace that show you, okay, if you can do a north and a south, and then a east and a west, you can cross something off and you can start again.
Yeah, but you can't go east-west, though.
No, but then yelling at the captain, go north! And he's just totally ignoring it. He's going, no more north. I found it really funny, and it really made a difference between losing lots of damage and lots of systems or getting your systems back up and running. So I think one of them was the decoy.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's two different types of sonar, one which gave you like a quarter, whereas another one was reference up and down, yeah. And one of them had to be true and one of them could be a lie.
Yeah, so one quadrant and one, yes. Think of it like Battleship, because you're using the same sort of two grid system, which is one is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and the other one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you're trying to locate the enemy sub on that right coordinate to be able to blow them to smithereens. Yes. So this is Battleship Advanced.
And it's Battleship Advanced, but yeah, with lots of screaming people. But it isn't
plus
just
Snake.
Yes, it isn't just
don't forget the Snake.
It isn't just screaming constantly, because you can say stop, and then everybody has to stop talking, and then you can say things like fire torpedo and things like that. And then once you've done that, they either hit or they don't, and they take damage. And obviously, the whole point is to destroy the other ship.
Mm-hmm.
Leon, you've got to keep up with the German theme. It's torpedoes los.
Just keep going, Leon.
Yeah, anyway, I don't remember that,
Leon. But Mark had a week off, so he's a little bit rusty.
Yes, okay. As an ex-naval man,
why the hell did I prepare this?
I love this game. But, you know, the description on Board Game Geek, it says the radio operator is manning the sonar. Now, surely the sonar operator mans the sonar and the radio operator mans the radio.
Maybe you should try and get some geek gold by updating your description, Mark.
Yes.
Anyway, keep going.
Terribly exciting. So, yes, so it is four people on each side all screaming at each other, and it is much, much fun. The way we played it when we played at the Bordercon, we were pretty lucky that we played it with possibly the best group that we could possibly play at the time. We were playing with probably our closest friends at Bordercon, and it was late on a Sunday, and we were all really up to playing it, so we had an absolute blast. And we kept the same four people on each side, but what we would do is after each game, which doesn't take long, they take between like 5 minutes and maybe 20, if that?
Oh, it'd be really lucky. And this is why I love this style of game, because it doesn't really matter if you're good or bad or ugly at the role.
Yep.
Because the games just go so quickly. Yes. It doesn't really matter.
Yep.
There was one player on the opposing team, because we did play virtually Dice Men versus non-Dice Men, didn't we?
Close to it, I think. No, Mark was on... Was Mark on our team?
Well, I hope not.
No, you weren't on our team.
No, that was good. That was good. I remember that.
No, it was us two and Aos and...
Terry.
Terry, that's it.
Yeah, and so I was...
Otherwise known as the A-team.
Cam and,
we were
Cam and
awesome.
Joe and Leah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The double A-team.
Yep.
Oh, I think we won.
Yeah.
Anyway...
No, we did win
point,
one more.
The point is, it doesn't matter whether you like the role that you're in or you don't, or you don't know how it works, or you don't enjoy it or whatever. It doesn't matter because... The games would be lucky to go for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's an important thing, because in the rule book, we didn't do this, and as Garth has mentioned this out of turn many times, it does say in the rule book the first time you play, you should play turn by turn.
Yes.
As in, one side does, four people do the thing, and then they say, go, and the other person side does that, and so on and so forth. We never did that, we just went, let's crack into it and see how we go.
Yeah.
But I think it's very, very important that someone could play this. And if they played it just the once, if I played this just the once and I was the radio sonar, I'm going to keep getting it wrong just to spite Mark. If I'd played it once and it was just that person, I reckon I would have hated this game because I disliked that immensely. Whereas all the other three, I liked for various other reasons.
Yeah.
So if you play this game with 8 people, which is how you should play it, especially at a convention, because that's kind of its bread and butter with this kind of game, you need to play it 4 times.
Yes.
It won't take an hour once you get the rules down.
Yeah.
But you need to play it 4 times. Everyone needs to get a different piece of the pie to actually kind of judge the way this game feels.
Correct, because everyone's going to find their role that they either enjoy or that they just suit.
Yes.
You know, you might be that person who is just a sneaky little bastard who is naturally ept. What's the opposite of inept? Good? At just listening to other people having a conversation. You're the one who wants to keep an ear on the other captain.
So I was horrible at that. We talked before how when we play Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space, which is a game I own and a game I really like, but I can't play it because you have to pay attention to everybody else around the table and I just can't do it. My brain just goes, nope.
Yep.
And you've known that with any game that I play.
Yes.
I plan... What was it when we played Lewis and Clark the other week? I had my next 6 turns planned.
Yes.
And cared not a jot what anyone else was doing because I knew what I was doing.
And did you win?
I came second. It was my first game.
So, no, you didn't win. Mm. But anyway, look, this game, in what is arguably a crowded genre, which is the real-time game, you've got Dice Cadets.
Space Cadets, Dice Duel.
Space Cadets, Dice Duel. You've got all of those escape-style games, Escape the Curse of the something or other, which are dice.
Well, they're very different.
They're very different, but they're the real-time game where you don't have time to think about strategy. You're really trying to manage what am I doing versus what are my teammates doing or my competitors doing. I think this game is above every other real-time game I've played purely because the team side of things works really, really well.
Yeah.
Having 3 other teammates with you is not an overwhelming number. Where you look at Space Cadets, and it can be, I think, 6 or even more players. And it can get a bit too full on.
I did want to raise that because there's a lot of similarities to Space Cadets, isn't there? Particularly where probably best played with 2 teams of 4, and you've got the 4 different roles. But in that one, you've got that rolling dice fast, putting them on the mat. There's sort of 4 mini games,
correct.
Whereas this is much more... teamwork, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cohesive. You have to all work together or it doesn't work.
And the game itself is super simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is Battleship, and that's it.
Pretty much.
What I love about it is how simple it is to teach the game and teach each role within the game. That is great. You can sit down and go, okay, well, your job as the captain is to plot the course, and when you hear the first mate say, mines are ready, your job is to decide when are we going to deploy a mine.
Yep.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Your job is to listen to the... radio operator, and when they say, I found them, you go, okay, well, stop, we're going to fire a torpedo at this coordinate because we're close enough to them to be able to deal with that. And I love how simple that is, but also I just enjoy the fact that this is over so quickly.
Yeah, but
it doesn't overstay its
It crosses genres as well, because with 8 people, it's a party game. It's a convention game. The other day, I watched the Dice Tower Top 10. Z Garcia said, favourite convention game of all time.
Yep.
This man has been to 1,000 conventions.
Wow, yeah.
Said it was his favourite of all time. So 8 players, it's a party game. But you could play this with 4 people if you did it turn by turn, two rolls each per on the side of the table, and if you were competitive, and I reckon people that actually work on, like, Navy people or that like submarine kind of stuff, if you had four people and did it turn by turn and played it really seriously, I reckon you'd have great fun too, but it wouldn't be a party game, but it'd just be a proper game.
Yeah, exactly. You are so right, and I think the BGG rank, unfortunately, sort of agrees with you, because it is the number three, believe it or not, party game on BGG, which is pretty amazing. Mm. It's already in the it's 106 out of top games of all time, which I find mind-boggling. I don't think it's that good a game, but to be close to the top 100 games already is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, but there is some bollocks in that 100.
Well, we should talk about that. The other thing is, and this was only released a day or two ago, is that they are producing a slightly simplified version of this, which is designed for 2 to 4 players, which removes a couple of the roles and really is primarily focused on the moving around and hunting the opposition. So it is really a board gamer's version of Battleship, stripped down to its bare minimum.
Well, that's interesting. I don't actually know how that would work, because as I said, you can play this game 4-player as it is now. You just got to do 2 roles, which isn't hard if you do it turn by turn. So that kind of just seems like you're getting half a game. But I guess they know what they're doing. They're a smart company, so...
Well, teaser.
Okay.
I said I'm going to talk about the Dice Tower Awards, but I've got to jump in now and say this game was one of the nominations for Best Game of the Year. Won't tell you which one won. We'll talk about it later. Yep. But it did win Best Party Game and Best Theming, which is pretty cool, although we'll talk about some of the other games in there later, and also most innovative game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not to mention it was on the Kennerspiel recommended list this year.
Yes.
So look, there is a lot going for this game, and in a little bit of Dice Men trivia, Trent, i.e. Dice Man Trent, won it at the raffle and it was the first time that he had won anything. So we now have a copy of Captain Sona. We just need to find 4 other friends.
That's right. He wasn't there, was he? He'd piked out already.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
He went looking for booze at like 1 in the morning.
So if anyone has 4 people who would like to play against the Dice Men, because we only know each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
It'd be lovely to have another game.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to come back and talk all about iOS and the aforementioned Dice Tower Awards. But in the meantime, a musical interlude.
Hey, guys, you know what's hot right now?
No, what?
Board games! Board games are hot. In fact, they're so hot.
What's that smell?
And why is that pile of board games in the corner on fire?
Why, Leon? Why?
I don't know, but we should probably get some elves and dwarves and stuff to put it out. I hear that's all the rage.
You mean medieval elves and dwarves in the town of Tinderbox?
As opposed to futuristic.
Which is Tinderbox... Most people will know as a southern Tasmanian town, but it will soon be hitting the global board game scene as the home of the worst fire in town, thanks to the upcoming Kickstarter, The Brigade, by Red Raven Games, designed by Alex Winter and
Ben Hoban.
Anyway, it's coming to Kickstarter soon, 2nd of August.
And we played it, and it's awesome.
It is awesome, because you will each be playing competing fire chiefs with your competing fire teams.
Fantasy fire teams.
To put out fantasy fires in a medieval town where you've each got to put out the fires, otherwise Tinderbox burns to the ground. And everybody loses.
Yeah, just think of that scene from Gangs of New York, except with, like, elves and pixies and stuff.
Yeah, well, Daniel Day-Lewis is remarkably versatile.
That's very true.
So I reckon he could fit the bill.
Yes, come on and listen to The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. That was For Tomorrow by the Pink Tiles. And before that little community announcement, we also had my favourite, Irrational Friend by The Morn. It reminds me of... the fourth Dice Man, who isn't here tonight. Hello to you, Trent. Hope you're having fun. And I hope you out there are having fun, maybe upstairs in Area 52, where they have their own board game collection. They run all sorts of card tournaments with that Gamers Crack Magic and all the other various TCGs and other things there.
Well, I actually went to Area 52 as a little aside maybe a week ago, and upstairs ran into a lovely chap called Alex. Now, Alex is a local guy who has managed to form a relationship with Cheap Ass Games, or Cheap Ass Games.
Ooh.
And he is now doing monthly let's tries, demos of various cheap-ass games
fantastic
that are out there. So nice. Good job, Alex. As we've said to you in person, please let us know when the next one is going and we'll spread the word.
He used to work for me.
What, the guy from Cheap-Ass Games?
No, Alex.
There you go.
When I was a manager at EB.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Small world Tasmania.
Typical. Yep. All right, who wants to introduce my segment?
You.
Okay.
Computer games.
So look, it's been a little while since we've talked about Kickstarter, which is why we're not going to talk about it tonight, and we'll go straight into iOS.
Oh, God.
Far out. I thought last week was bad.
Computer games, yes.
Anyway, there has been one particular iOS game that it pains me to say I have played more than anything else in the last couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Now, I've got a lot of F words to say about this game, and there's only a few that I can say in the public domain. Yes. But three of them that I can say is that the game I'm talking about is Friedman Freese's Friday.
The old Friedman, he likes an F word in his games, doesn't he?
He does. So thankfully, all I'm going to talk about is this game because it came out on iOS devices not too long ago and it is a solo-only card game.
Well, I was going to say, for anyone that doesn't know, it's basically the most famous solo game there is.
Quite possibly.
I don't know a bigger one.
We will get to that because this game, which is called Freitag, or Friday in German, which it should be, came to iOS. It's a couple of bucks. It might be $4, but it currently for me is kind of all-consuming because it's really, 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 really hard. But what is it? Good question. You are basically taking control of Robinson Crusoe and his companion Friday, from which the name comes from.
Freedom and Freeze comes from.
Yeah, exactly. And all you're trying to do, your sole job, is to try and keep poor Robinson Crusoe alive while putting up with hazard after hazard after hazard. And then if you survive, you're going to have to fight some pirates who are going to be all kinds of mean. But it's a very simple game at its core. You will start, and you'll love this, Mark, with your own little private deck of cards. And what you're going to be doing is building this deck of cards.
So there's deck building.
There is deck building. And oh my goodness, is it easy to get rid of cards? Because you also have a little stack of food
tokens.
That's
the best part of deck building.
So let me lay it out for you. You are going to start every given turn turning up two hazard cards. And on each hazard card, you'll be given a choice. Do you choose one hazard or do you choose the other? And each hazard card is going to tell you what score you need to get. So how strong do you need to be able to be to succeed at this particular challenge? It'll also tell you how many cards you get to use for free from your deck. You will start by making a choice. One card you will place face up and you will go, that's the one I'm fighting. And the other one will go back into your deck. Yep. Into the hazard deck. And then you will start to draw cards from your own personal deck. And these, at the very start of the game, are horrible.
Yeah.
They are the worst cards ever because there is a fair amount of them which are negative points, which gets you further away from achieving what you want. And if it's not a negative point, chances are it'll be a 0 point card.
Yeah.
And there might be a couple in that starting deck that might give you 1 point. Possibly two.
Thematically, though, that makes sense because, you know, you've arrived on the island or whatever, and you know you're weak. You haven't been eating, so you're playing Friday, and like Robinson Crusoe is like an NPC. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, it is, and that's exactly how you would want to think about it. Because in Friday, your job is to kind of support Robinson Crusoe. Yeah. So the cards that you'll be playing, they might say weak, and it's Robinson Crusoe is weak and it's 0 points. Or it might be disillusioned, or it might be confused, or it might be a negative trait of some way that'll be a negative kind of aspect to it. Anyway, your job will be to try and either reach the score on the hazard card that you're trying to achieve, and it might be at the very first level, because there are four tiers to this game. There's level 1, which is green, level 2, which is yellow, level 3, that's red, and level 4, which is the pirates.
Wow.
So you start at level green, which is the easiest level, and you might only need to score one positive point to be able to succeed.
Yeah.
Now, if you succeed, you get to take that card that you have just beaten, the hazard, and put it into your own deck, because each of the cards have two abilities. Wow. One side is the hazard.
Yeah.
The other side of it is the positive aspect that you will gain. Okay. And it might be something like when you use it as a positive aspect, you get two fighting because it's a weapon. Or it might be free food, so you get to increase your food stack, which means you get to live longer. Or it might be that you get to remove a card that you've played previously and put it at the bottom of the stack, or destroy it altogether or something. So you're really spending those first, oh, let's say the whole first level, the green level, really trying to get your deck to some form of acceptable working level.
Yes.
So you're saying double-sided card technology.
Well, the thing is, it's not double-sided. It is halved. So the cards are
double-ended?
Double-edged, even. It's quite phenomenal.
Oh, so they're cheap.
Right. No. The game itself is good value. So anyway, you're going to do this quite a lot of times, and there will be times where you'll succeed, and there are times that you're going to absolutely fall on your ass and have a horrible time. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because say there is a card that you're trying to achieve a positive score of 2 to succeed.
Yes.
Say you play a couple of cards and you end up being at -1 because you played 0 and a -1 and you go and stuff this. I don't really want to do that. You can call it quits on that particular round and go, well, I'm not going to get that hazard card and put it into my deck. It's going to go back into the hazard deck.
Yeah.
But what I do get to do is thin out my deck, because you then get to spend as much food as is different between the hazard success score and your score, and get rid of the appropriate number of cards. Ah. Each general card is worth 1 food. So if you miss something by 2, you get to get rid of 2 cards, which at the very start of the game, there are a lot of cards you want to get rid of, because there are a crap ton of -1s and 0s. So just get them out of my deck.
Yeah.
So that's great. But then it becomes a really interesting, and I hate to say it, but it's interesting, Mark.
Yes.
Part of the game where you then become balanced in that I want to get cards that might not give me a lot of actual fighting or ability to beat hazards, but they might allow me to get free food, which is my life. It's how I'm going to survive. Or you make a decision and you go, well, the way my deck's gone so far, it's all gone pretty well. So chances are the next couple of cards coming up are going to be horrible. So let me just choose a hazard, because I always get to choose 2, remember? Mm-hmm. Choose a hazard that might be quite easy to succeed. I'm just going to try and fail it. I'm just going to hope that the cards that I get next are going to be bad ones, so that I might fail it by 2 or 3, but I get to get rid of maybe 3 cards that are all -1, and it really gets rid of that horrible past part of my deck.
So is there a negative effect, though, if you fail a hazard?
Yeah, you lose your food. And obviously, if your food ever gets to 0, you're dead.
So, sorry, you lose your food just when you spend to thin, or do you lose food as well as what you spend to
thin? Well, the only other way that you will get to spend your food is on these hazard cards. They will tell you how many free cards you get to play.
Ah, okay.
So say, for example, we've progressed, we've gone past the easy level, and we're going to go into the yellow section of it.
Yep, bananas.
Which are now
pineapples.
The hazards themselves are more tricky.
Yep, monkey vomit.
Anything else you want to say?
There are the yellow things on an island.
All right, keep going. So anyway, you might be able to play 3 cards, and the goal is to get to 6 hazard strength.
Yep.
So you get to play 3 cards for free. Now, you might have played those 3 cards, and you might be at 5 strength, so you might be so close. And you really want that card, so you can pay a food for each additional card you pay. The flip side of that, though, is depending on the level of how hard you want to make this, some cards just get thrown into your deck every next tier. So there might be a card that is just simply called stupid. And it is just an instant -2 to your score, which is horrible. Or there might be another card, and the name escapes me, but it's just, I think it just might be called stop. And what it means is, instead of being able to play free cards as the card dictates, every card from that one on costs you 1 food.
Halt!
Yeah. Or it might be another card that just says, from now on, your highest point card, whatever you play, is worth 0.
Oh,
so
geez.
It is brutal. Now, the reason that this game has been on constant rotation on my iPhone is that I have now played maybe 35 to 40 times in the last fortnight, and I have won it precisely twice. So it is brutal. Now, I am playing it on the easiest of four settings, which is all about how many negative attribute cards come in at each level. The last time I won it was about half an hour ago as I was sitting in the New Sydney waiting for you two guys with a pint, and it was awesome. I felt so excited, but I was by myself and I couldn't cheer in public because they'd think I was a crazy person. But the point is, for $3 or $4, go and get this game. It is hard to figure out if you've never played it before because, unfortunately, the rules on the app are not awesome. Mm. The tutorial is not awesome. So I had to go and watch Erato to actually figure out what the hell was going on. But once I got it, bang, this game is so much fun.
So you'd say Freedom and Freezes Friday is phenomenal.
Yes.
Perhaps a bit futile.
And what I would also
say... finally...
Finally, and this is absolutely the truth. Please go and check it. I went on and saw at what number is this game in the BGG solo games rank? I went into the advanced search on BGG, went from players one to players one. Can anyone out of Mark and Leon tell me what number they think it is?
I'd say one because it's so popular.
Well,
I want to make sure that you are aware. This is not including one player games only. So it does include any game that is allowed to be played at one.
I was going to say, I bet it probably was. I'm pretty sure it was one for quite a while, but I would take a stab now that it's probably been knocked off by...
Terraforming Mars?
Shut your mouth. By a Arkham card game or a Pathfinder, I reckon.
Right.
So let's say three.
I want to email Freedom and Freeze. If he doesn't know this, he should, because it is number 55. Two more.
Funfzen.
Exactly. F and F. He would be so proud of that.
55.
But that's because you are right. There are... games like Terraforming Mars.
Yeah.
There are games like
Scythe.
There are games like Gloomhaven, which is currently the number one player game in all history.
And it's not based off votes for people who like to play at one player.
No, it is. It can play
so,
at one.
So that's not
for the for the number one solo game, this is brilliant. I really enjoy this game. Mm. It is so much fun. As an app, it is great because you don't have to shuffle cards.
Have you ever seen the real-life version?
Yeah, I
haven't.
I have. Do you know where I've seen it?
Area 52?
Yes, I have, actually.
I saw it. It's really good. It's got Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. It's really, really good.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, so that's all I had to say. The only other thing I want to say is that both Mark and I are part of the legendary DXP beta testing. So that is fantastic. Except it currently crashes, so I haven't been able to get a game in. Mark, you were able to get to the first turn before yours crashed.
I was so excited because I had, the first time around, the first download of the beta, I'd managed to, I think, play two cards before it crashed. It was the most I'd ever got. And then I read, we've heard all your complaints and we're going to do a new build and we're going to fix it all, and that's great. So I logged on this morning while I was eating my breakfast, downloaded. It's like 1.1 gigabytes.
Took forever.
I had to delete some other apps off my iPad to fit it on. And I got to play 1.5 turns this time before it crashed and wouldn't reconnect again. So it's not off to a good start.
But look, the reality is anyone can go out there and go to legendarydxp.com, put in your email address, and they will send you an invite to become a beta tester as well. So... go there if you're half interested in the legendary mechanic and having a go of this iPad game. You might have more luck than us. Or if you get it to work, please just tweet us or Instagram us or email us at dicemencometh@gmail.com and try and arrange a game.
Because my iPad is at least a couple of generations old, and I know you mentioned, Garth, yours is quite old, so I don't know whether that's making a difference, but...
I'd say that's exactly the point.
It seems to want to connect to the network all the time. Yeah. That's part of the problem. It's obviously one of these games that you can't play not connected to the internet, which I know is real peeve for a lot of people, but I guess the thing is, if you were playing this not connected to the internet, the file would probably be 100 gigabytes because of all the images for all the cards and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I play Sentinels of the Multiverse offline quite a bit. Yeah. But anyway, that's off topic. We are running out of time.
We better go
to a song because, Mark, you've got a lot of awards to tell us about, have you not?
I do.
Well, let's do that after this song. You are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. God bang fees, power bills, and
concerned, a doom race that never...
God, he goes on a bit. That was consumed by Stray, a Tassie act on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh, proudly brought to you this week by our local board gaming and comic consortium of Area 52. Now, Markety Mark McMark Mark Mark.
Yes.
There's some awards.
Don't you mean Mark McMark face?
Yes. What did I say?
Anyway, moving forward to someone who knows what they're talking about, the Dice Tower Awards.
Now, well, you mean they know what they're talking
about?
That's
correct. Good. Yeah, exactly. Correct. That's right. So these guys, you know, there's been a Dice Tower podcast now for, I think, more than 10 years, maybe 12 or 13. And I guess a few years back, you're going to say something, Liam?
I don't think podcasts were invented 10 or 13 years
ago. Oh, no.
Mark, you started listening when you first got your seniors card, though, didn't you?
18-dickety-2.
Oh, yeah. You had to have the podcast delivered by carrier pigeon. It was great.
But Ricky Gervais wasn't born then. How did he start that? I don't know.
Anyway, so the Dice Tower, probably, I want to say maybe 5 or 6 years ago, basically said, hey, Spiel, what would they know? BGG, what would they know? Origins Awards, they hated those, and they decided we're going to create our own awards. Okay?
Okay.
And they get 30 or 40 gaming luminaries, but not us, to basically vote on these awards. So I don't know if officially they're recognised that well, but certainly in the geeky gamer world, and particularly, I guess, in Northern America or in the English-speaking geeky gamer world, these are maybe considered to be truer to our sort of gamers than other awards like Origins or even Board Game Geek, which can be skewed a bit, certainly more than the Spiel.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a heap of categories, so I'm going to run through a few of them. And look, all the games we're going to mention here, you cannot go wrong. There is so many great games mentioned here.
I'm betting I'm going to debate that.
Well, I'm sure you are.
Well, just remember, we've only got about 6 minutes, Mark.
So we've already mentioned Captain Sonar winning Best Party Game and Best Theming. Now, one of the ones I wanted to mention that was nominated for Best Theming, Black Orchestra.
Ah.
What do you guys know about that game?
Yeah, that is a good potential game.
Yeah, I listened to an episode of the Spiel podcast about the Black Orchestra, and of course it's about the plot against Hitler in World War II. Sounds like a fascinating game. So he was one of the nominees for Best Theming.
Well, not many people know that the reason Hitler finally took that suicide pill is because he rolled snake eyes.
Oh, no.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and he said, Eva Braun, I have to just call it quits. I can't roll any more ones.
And she didn't answer him because she was already passed out.
Heads, you take it. Tails, I take it.
Yeah.
Also nominated in Best Theming was Role Player, which also won the Best Game from a Small Publisher. Now, again, I heard this mentioned on the Spiel. Have you guys had anything to do with this Role Player?
This was one of my top games to play at Con, and no one had it. I've never seen this game physically in the flesh.
I know.
Did you back the recent Kickstarter, which offered the expansion?
No, because it was very expensive.
Okay, well, you're on the same.
Mortgage, just stick it on the mortgage. But sure, guys, just putting it out there that both of the games, Mark, that you have just mentioned are available for free on Tabletopia.
So
if any of you have a computer,
well, anyway,
I'm more than happy to play with you guys.
It won Best Game from a Small Publisher, and that was Keith Mataker for Role Player. I am really interested to play that one. Best Party Game, we mentioned Captain Sonar. The nominees there, Codenames Pictures, Happy Salmon.
Oh, hello.
We mentioned that one a couple of weeks ago, Junkart and the Secret Hitler.
Oh, Junkart, so good.
Now, here we go again. One of the games that was nominated in so, so many categories, and of course it won Best Game of the Year.
It's my game.
So Scythe won Best Game of the Year.
Is that all it won?
It was nominated for the expansion Scythe Invaders from Afar.
Yep.
It was nominated for Best Production, which is fair enough. He won Best Artwork.
Well done, Jakob Rosalowski.
It was nominated for Best Strategy Game. Guess what won that, Leon?
I don't know.
Terraforming Mars, baby. Scythe was not nominated for anything else. Did I say best artwork? Yes. Best board game production. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Mechs versus Minions. Yes.
Which is completely justified.
Yeah, absolutely. Although The Others was one of the nominees in that. Oh, I don't know.
It's
about
good,
that.
But it's not. Nothing is in the league.
Best co-op, Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition.
Yes.
And in the nominees there were Arkham Horror Living Card Game, Mechs versus Minions, Pandemic Cthulhu.
Really?
I've heard good things about that. I've seen it played a decent amount. I would like to try it.
So the best expansion was won by Seven Wonders Dual Pantheon. Have you got that expansion, Garth?
I do.
I know you've recently played that game.
Yeah, Trent and I have been playing quite a bit of Seven Wonders Duel with the Pantheon expansion. Okay. No doubt we will be talking about it in coming
up. Two of the Time Stories expansions were nominated, The Prophecy of Dragons and Under the Mask. The best family game, same as the spiel, was Ice Cool, the Penguin game. Best game from a new designer, Leon, who was it?
Some guy that made this really overrated.
Our
thing.
Good friend Jakob Frixelius for Terraforming Mars,
really,
of course.
Best strategy when it's random card.
No, that's best game from a new designer. Because but he also did win best strategy game.
Can you turn Leon's mic down?
Yeah. The other nominees for best strategy, by the way, Great Western Tears. That's here in Tasmania. Great Western Trails, Feast for Odin. Garth, you and I played it. On the border. And we'll have to talk about that soon. Scythe, of course, and Star Wars Rebellion. Best two-player was Star Wars Rebellion.
Which we need to play again.
And, you know, Arkham Horror the Living Card Game did pick up a whole bunch of nominations as well. Didn't win any. The other nominees for Best Game, and I guess this is where I said, look, if you want to look at this whole list as some awesome games, so Adrenaline.
Yep.
Which I don't know a lot about, but it's getting a lot of good raps.
So that's Czech Games Edition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Captain Sonar, of course, we just talked about. Cry Havoc, that we've reviewed here on the show a while back. A Feast for Odin, that we will talk about soon. Great Western Trails, Inish, that we still haven't got to
it's
the
Inish
table.
It's Shrink at my house.
It's Inish Shrink. Mechs versus Minions, Star Wars Rebellion, Terraforming Mars. Like, that is an awesome list of games.
And I must say, how refreshing is it to have actually played most of these games?
Yeah.
It is quite nice.
We talked about, maybe a year ago, how we're always 6 to 12 months behind.
Yeah.
But to be able to play almost every one of the games that are on these Dice Tower Awards, and not like we have any expert opinion, but to be able to say, yeah, that game, I can see why it got nominated, or I can see why Scythe won again.
And look, couple more quick ones. Most innovative game, as we said, Captain Sonar. The nominees there were Clank, which we played, which we've talked about, and my copy has now arrived. Mystic Vale.
I
don't know.
Which you got and sold.
That's right. Vast in the Crystal Caverns, which, you know, we enjoyed. Now, the last one there was Millennium Blades, which is the game that's simulating playing a trading card game with expansions and releases and competitions and everything. It's quite fascinating to me, having played a few TCGs.
It sounds like it could be really interesting, the fact that you are playing someone who's playing a TCG.
Yeah, it's meta, that's for sure.
You would not want to go near that rule book, something tells me. No. If it's anything like those Battlecon games where they're like a novel thick.
And look, finally, best reprint was won by Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition.
Yes.
51st State Master Set was one of the nominees. Escape from the Aliens in Dolph Lundgren's Port Chop Express was another one. And Robinson Crusoe, we just mentioned as well. So what an awesome list of games. Well done, Dice Tower. Although we think you need some more Southern Hemisphere voters definitely in your panel. Guys, we're almost out of time.
How good was last year, though? If you listen to everything that was nominated, which is probably like 50 games if you add all the nominations, that is an amazing group.
Brilliant.
Yeah, 2016/17 is looking to be a pretty good year.
I'll say. And on that note, we've got to get out because we're going to go and play Pandemic Legacy. We're almost finished. Thanks to Area 52. Thanks to everyone for listening. And we're out. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support The Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.